understand why Torunaga's going to let the Anjin Sun go. That's another stupid waste."
He bunched his fist and slammed it on the tatamis. The maid flinched but said nothing. Yuriko did not make the slightest move. A smile flickered across her face.
"How did the Anjin-san take his freedom and his vassals?" she asked.
"He was so happy. He was like an old man, dreaming he had a four-pronged yang. He... oh, yes."
Yabu frowned, remembering.
"But there was one thing I still don't understand. When those wako first surrounded me, I was a dead man. No doubt about it. But the Anjin-san stopped them and gave me back my life. No reason for him to do that, eh? Just before, I'd seen the hate written all over him. So naive to pretend otherwise. As if I'd trust him."
"He gave you your life?"
"Oh, yes. Strange, eh?"
"Yes. Many strange things are going on, husband."
She dismissed the maid, then asked quietly,
"What did Torunaga really want?"
Yabu bent forward and whispered,
"I think he wants me to become commander-in-chief."
"Why should he do that? Is Iron Fist dying?"
Yuriko asked.
"What about Lord Sudara? Or Buntaro? Or Lord Noboru?"
"Who knows, lady? They're all out of favor, eh? Torunaga changes his mind so often, no one can predict what he'll do now. First he asked me to go in his place to the wharf and told how he wanted everything said. Then he talked about Hiromatsu, how old he was getting, and asked what I really thought about the musket regiment."
"Could he be ready in Crimson Sky again?"
"That's always ready. But he hasn't got the fruit for it. That will need leadership and skill. Once he had it, not now. Now he's a shadow of the Minowara he was. I was shocked at how he looked. So sorry. I made a mistake. I should have gone with Ishido."
"I think you chose correctly."
"What?"
"First have your bath, then I think I have a present for you."
"What present?"
"Your brother Mizuno is coming after the evening meal."
"That's a present?"
Yabu bristled.
"What would I want with that fool?"
"Special information or wisdom, even from a fool, can be just as valuable as from a counselor, nay? Sometimes more so."
"What information?"
"First, your bath and food. You'll need a cool head tonight, Yabu-chan."
Yabu would have pressed her, but the bath tempted him. And in truth, he was filled with a pleasing lassitude he had not felt in many a day. Part of it was due to Torunaga's deference this morning, part to the general's deference over the last few days. But most of it was due to the killing, the ripple of joy that had rushed from sword to arm to head.
"Ah, to kill so cleanly. Man to man, in front of men. That's a joy given to so few, so rarely. Rare enough to be appreciated and savored."
So he left his wife and relaxed further into his joy. He allowed hands to tend his body, and then refreshed and renewed, he went to a veranda room. The last rays of sunset bedecked the sky. The moon was low, crescent and thin. One of his personal maids served his evening meal delicately. He ate sparingly and in silence. A little soup and fish and pickled vegetables. The girl smiled invitingly.
"Shall I turn down the futons now, sire?"
Yabu shook his head.
"Later. First tell my wife I wish to see her."
Yuriko arrived, wearing a neat but old kimono.
"Sodeska?"
"Your brother's waiting. We should see him alone. See him first, sire. Then we'll talk. You and I, also alone. Please be patient, ne?
Kashigi Mizuno, Yabu's younger brother and Omi's father, was a small man with bulbous eyes, high forehead and thin hair. His swords did not seem to suit him, and he could barely handle them. Even with bow and arrow, he was not much better. Mizuno bowed and complimented Yabu on his skill this afternoon, for the news of the exploit had quickly spread around the castle, further enhancing Yabu's reputation as a fighter. Then, anxious to please, he came to the point.
I received a coded letter today from my son, sire. The Lady Yuriko thought I'd better give it to you personally.
He handed the scroll to Yabu with the decoding. The message from Omi read,
Father, please tell Lord Yabu quickly and privately. First, Lord Buntaro came to Mishima, secretly via Takato. One of his men let this slip during a drunken evening that I'd arranged in their honor. Second, during this secret visit at Takato, which lasted 3 days, Buntaro saw Lord Zataki twice, and the lady, Zataki's mother, 3 times. Third, before Lord Hiromatsu left Mishima, he told his new consort, the Lady Oko, not to worry, because while I'm alive, Lord Toranaga will never leave the Kanto. Fourth, that...
Yabu looked up.
How can Omi-san possibly know what Iron Fist said privately to his consort? We don't have spies in his house. We have now, sire. Please read on. Fourth, that Hiromatsu is resolved to commit treason, if necessary, and will confine Toranaga in Edo, if necessary, and will order Crimson Sky over Toranaga's refusal, with or without Lord Sudara's assent, if necessary. Fifth, that these are truths that can be believed. Lady Oko's personal maid is the daughter of my wife's foster mother, and was introduced into the Lady Oko's service here at Mishima, when, regrettably, her own maid curiously acquired a wasting malaise. Sixth, Buntaro-san is like a madman, brooding and angry. Today he challenged and slaughtered a samurai purposelessly, cursing the name of the Anjin-san. Last, spies report that Ikawa Jikyu has massed 10,000 men in Suruga, ready to sweep across our borders. Please give Lord Yabu my greetings.
The rest of the message was inconsequential.
Jikyu, eh? Must I go to my death with that devil unrevenged?
Please be patient, sire, Yuriko said. Tell him, Mizuno-san.
Sire, the little man began. For months we tried to put your plan into effect, the one you suggested when the barbarian first arrived. You remember, with all those silver coins, you mentioned that 100 or even 500 in the hands of the right cook would eliminate Ikawa Jikyu once and for all.
Mizuno's eyes seemed to grow even more frog-like.
It seems that Mura, headman of Anjiro, has a cousin who has a cousin whose brother now is the best cook in Suruga. I heard today he's been accepted into Jikyu's household. He's been given 200 on account, and the whole price is 500.
We haven't got that money. Impossible. How can I raise 500? I'm so in debt now, I can't even raise 100.
Please excuse me, sire. So sorry, but the money's already set aside. Not all the barbarian coins remained in the strongbox. 1,000 coins strayed before it was officially counted. So sorry.
Yabu gawked at him.
How? It seems Omi-san was ordered to do that in your name. The money was brought here secretly to the Lady Yuriko, from whom permission was asked and granted before risking your displeasure.
Yabu thought about that a long time.
Who ordered it? I did, after seeking permission. Thank you, Mizuno-san, and thank you, Yuriko-san.
Yabu bowed to both.
So, Jikyu, eh? At long last!
He clapped his brother warmly on the shoulder, and the smaller man was almost pathetic in his fawning pleasure.
You did very well, brother. I'll send you some bolts of silk from the treasury. How is the lady your wife? Well, sire, very well. She asked you to accept her best wishes. We must have food together. Good, good. Now, about the rest of the report. What are your views?
Nothing, sire. I would be most interested in what you think it means.
First?
Yabu stopped as he caught his wife's look, cautioning him, and changed what he was going to say.
First and last, it means that Omi-san, your son, is loyal and an excellent vassal. If I had control of the future, I'd promote him. Yes, he deserves promotion, eh?
Mizuno was unctuously delighted. Yabu was patient with him, chatting with him, again complimenting him, and as soon as was polite, he dismissed him. Yuriko sent for Cha. When they were quite alone again, he said,
"What does the rest mean?"
Her face mirrored her excitement now.
"Please excuse me, sire, but I want to give you a new idea. Torunaga is playing us all for fools and has no intention, and never had any intention, of going to Osaka to surrender."
"Nonsense."
"Let me give you facts. Oh, sire, you don't know how fortunate you are in your vassal Omi and that stupid brother who stole 1,000 coins. Proof of my theory could be as follows. Buntaro-san, a trusted intimate, is sent to Zateki secretly. Why? Obviously to carry a new offer. What would tempt Zateki? The Kanto. Only that. So the offer is the Kanto, in return for allegiance, once Torunaga is again president of the Council of Regents. A new one with a new mandate. He can afford to give it then, eh?"
She waited, then went on painstakingly.
"If he persuades Zateki to betray Ishido, he's a quarter of the way to the capital, Kyoto. How can the pact with his brother be cemented? Hostages! I heard this afternoon Lord Sudara, the Lady Genchiko, and their daughters, and their son, are going to visit their revered grandmother at Takato within 10 days.
"All of them?"
"Yes. Next, Torunaga gives the Anshin-san back his ship, as good as new, with all the cannon and powder, 200 fanatics, and all that money. Surely enough to buy more barbarian mercenaries, wacko scum, out of Nagasaki. Why? To allow him to attack and take the black ship of the barbarians. No black ship, no money, and immense trouble for the Christian priests who control Kiyama, Onoshi, and all traitorous Christian daimyos."
"Torunaga never dared to do that. The Taiko tried and failed, and he was all-powerful. The barbarians will sail away in fury. We'll never trade again."
"Yes, if we did it. But this time, it's barbarian against barbarian, eh? It's nothing to do with us. And say the Anjin-san attacks Nagasaki and puts it to the torch. Isn't Harima now hostile, and Kiyama, and Onoshi? And because of them, most Kyushu daimyos? Say the Anjin-san burns a few of their other ports, harries their shipping, and at the same time..."
"And at the same time, Torunaga launches Crimson Sky,"
Yabu exploded.
"Yes. Oh, yes,"
Yuriko agreed happily.
"Doesn't this explain Torunaga? Doesn't this intrigue fit him like a skin? Isn't he doing what he's always done? Just waiting like always? Playing for time like always? A day here, a day there? And soon a month has passed, and again he has an overwhelming force to sweep all opposition aside. He's gained almost a month since Sataki brought the summons to Yokoze."
Yabu could feel his pulse roaring in his ears.
"Then we're safe?"
"No. But we're not lost. I believe it's no surrender."
She hesitated.
"But everyone was deceived. Oh, he's so clever, eh? Everyone fooled, like us. Until tonight. Omi gave me the clues. We all forgot Toranaga is a great no-actor, who can wear his own face as a mask if need be. Ne?
Yabu tried to marshal his thoughts, but could not.
But Ishido still has all Japan against us.
Yes, less Zataki. And there must be other secret alliances. Toranaga and you can hold the passes until the time.
Ishido has Osaka Castle, and the heir, and the Taiko's wealth.
Yes, but he'll stay skulking inside. Someone will betray him.
What should I do?
The opposite to Toranaga. Let him do the waiting. You must force the pace.
How?
The first thing, sire, is this. Toranaga's forgotten the one thing you noticed this afternoon. The Tsuku-san's total fury. Why? Because the Anjin-san threatens the Christian future, ne? So you've got to put the Anjin-san under your protection at once. Because those priests or their puppets will murder him within hours. Next, the Anjin-san needs you to protect and guide him. To help him get his new crew at Nagasaki. Without you and your men, he has to fail. Without him and his ship and his cannon and more barbarians, Nagasaki won't burn. And that must happen, Okiyama, Onoshi, and Harima, and the filthy priests won't be distracted enough to temporarily withdraw their support from Ishido. Meanwhile, Toranaga, now miraculously supported by Zataki and his fanatics, with you leading the musket regiment, sweeps through the Shinano passes down to the Kyoto plains.
Yes, yes, you are right, Yuriko-chan. It has to be that way. Oh, you are so clever, so wise.
Wisdom and luck are no good without the means to put a plan into effect, sire. You alone can do that. You're the leader, the fighter, the battle general that Toranaga must have. You must see him tonight.
I can't go to Toranaga and tell him I've seen through his ruse, eh?
No, but you'll beg him to allow you to go with the Anjin-san, that you must leave at once. We can think of a plausible reason.
But if the Anjin-san attacks Nagasaki and the Black Ship, won't they stop trading and sail away?
Yes, possibly, but that's next year. By next year, Toranaga will be a regent, president of the regents, and you his commander-in-chief.
Yabu came down from the clouds.
No,
he said firmly.
Once he has power, he'll order me to commit seppuku.
Long before that, you will have the Kanto.
His eyes blinked.
How?
Toranaga will never actually give his half-brother the Kanto. Zataki's a perpetual threat. Zataki's a wild man, pride-filled, ne? It will be so easy for Toranaga to maneuver Zataki into begging for the foremost place in the battle. If Zataki doesn't get killed, perhaps a stray bullet or arrow. Probably a bullet. You must lead the musket regiment in the battle, sire.
Why shouldn't I receive a stray bullet equally?
You may, sire. But you're not Toranaga's kinsman, and therefore no threat to his power. You will become his most devoted vassal. He needs fighting, general. You'll earn the Kanto, and that should be your only goal. He'll give it to you when Ishido's betrayed, because he'll take Osaka for himself.
Vassal, but you said to wait, and soon I'd never...
Now I counsel you to support him with all your strength. Not to follow his orders blindly, like old Iron Fist, but cleverly. Don't forget, Yabu-chan, during battle, as in any battle, Soldiers make mistakes. Stray bullets do happen. So long as you lead the regiment, you can choose, too. Any time, eh?
Yes, he said, awed by her.
Remember, Toranaga's worth following. He's Minowara. Ishido's a peasant. Ishido's the fool. I can see that now. Ishido should be hammering at the gates of Odawara right now, rain or no rains. Didn't Omi-san say that months ago, too? Isn't Odawara undermanned? Isn't Toranaga isolated?
Yabu pounded his fist on the floor with delight.
Then it's war, after all. How clever you are to have seen through him. Ah, so he's been playing the fox all the time, eh?
Yes,
she said, greatly satisfied. Mariko had come to the same astonishing conclusion, though not from all the same facts.
Toranaga must be pretending, playing a secret game, she reasoned. That's the only possible explanation for his incredible conduct. Giving the Anjin-san the ship, the money, all the cannon, and freedom in front of Tsuku-san. Now the Anjin-san will absolutely go against the black ship. He will take it and threaten the one next year. And therefore, he'll maul the Holy Church terribly and force the Holy Fathers to compel Kiyama and Onoshi to betray Ishido. But why? If that's true, she thought, perplexed, and Toranaga's considering such a long-range plan, then of course he can't go to Osaka and bow before Ishido, eh? He must... Aha! What about today's delay that Hiromatsu persuaded Toranaga to make? Oh, Madonna on high! Toranaga never intended to surrender. It's all a trick. Why? To gain time. To accomplish what? To wait and weave 1,000 more tricks. And it doesn't matter what, only that Toranaga's once more what he always was. The almighty puppeteer. How long before Ishido's impatience shatters, and he raises the battle standard and moves against us? 1 month, at the most 2, no more. So by the 9th month of this 5th year of Keicho, the battle for the Kanto begins. But what's Toranaga gained in 2 months? I don't know. I only know that now my son has a chance to inherit his 10,000 koku, and to live and breed. And that now, perhaps my father's line will not perish from the earth.
She relished her newfound knowledge, toying with it, examining it, finding her logic flawless.
But what to do between now and then? She asked herself. Nothing more than you've already done and decided to do, nay? Mistress? Yes, Chimoko? Gyoko-san is here. She has an appointment, she says. Ah, yes, I forgot to tell you. First eat sake, then bring it and her here.
Mariko reflected on the afternoon. She remembered his arms around her, so safe and warm and strong.
Can I see you tonight?
He had asked very cautiously, after Yabu and Tsuku-san had left.
Yes, she had said impulsively. Yes, my darling. Oh, how happy I am for thee. Tell Hujiko-san. Ask her to send for me after the hour of the boar.
In the quiet of her house, her throat tightened.
So much foolishness and danger.
She checked her makeup and coiffure in her mirror and tried to compose herself. Footsteps approached. The shoji slid open.
Ah, lady,
Gyoko said, bowing deeply.
How kind of you to see me. You're welcome, Gyoko-san.
They drank sake, Chimoko pouring for them.
Such lovely pottery, lady. So beautiful.
They made polite conversation, then Chimoko was sent away.
So sorry, Gyoko-san, but our master did not arrive this afternoon. I haven't seen him, though I hope to before I leave. Yes, I heard Yabu-san went to the jetty in his place. When I see Toranaga-sama, I will ask him once more. but I expect his answer will be the same.
Mariko poured sake for both of them.
So sorry, he will not grant my request. Yes, I believe you. Not unless there is great pressure. There's no pressure that I can use. So sorry. So sorry too, lady.
Mariko put down her cup.
Then you've decided that some tongues are not safe.
Kyoko said harshly,
If I were going to whisper secrets about you, would I tell you to your face? Do you think I'd be so naive? Perhaps you'd better go. So sorry, but I have much to do. Yes, lady, and so have I,
Kyoko replied, her voice rough.
Lord Torunaga asked me, to my face, what I knew about you and the Anjin-san. This afternoon, I told him there was nothing between you. I said, Oh, yes, sire, I've heard the foul rumors, too, but there's no truth in them. I swear it on the head of my son, sire, and his sons. If anyone would know, surely it would be me. You may believe it's all a malicious lie. Gossip, jealous gossip, sire. Oh, yes, lady, you may believe I was suitably shocked. My acting perfect, and he was convinced.
Kyoko quaffed the sake, and added bitterly,
Now we are all ruined if he gets proof, which wouldn't be difficult to get, ne? How? Put the Anjin-san to the test. Chinese methods. Chimoko, Chinese methods. Me, Kiku-san, Yoshinaka. So sorry. Even you, lady. Chinese methods.
Mariko took a deep breath.
May I ask you why you took such a risk? Because in certain situations, women must protect each other against men. Because I actually saw nothing. Because you've done me no harm. Because I like you and the Anjin-san and believe you both have your own karmas. And because I'd rather have you alive and a friend than dead. And it's exciting to watch you three moths circling the flame of life. I don't believe you.
Kyoko laughed softly.
Thank you, lady.
Controlled now, she said with complete sincerity.
Very well, I'll tell you the real reason. I need your help. Yes, Torunaga-sama won't grant my request, but perhaps you can think of a way. You're the only chance I've ever had, that I'll ever have in this lifetime, and I can't release it lightly. There. Now you know. Please, I humbly beg you to help me with my request.
She put both hands on the futons and bowed low.
Please excuse my impertinence, Lady Toda, but all that I have will be put at your side. If you will help me.
Then she settled back on her heels, adjusted the folds of her kimono, and finished the sake. Mariko tried to think straight. Her intuition told her to trust the woman, but her mind was still partially befogged with her newfound insight into Torunaga, and her relief that Kyoko had not denounced her as she had expected. So she decided to put that decision aside for later consideration.
Yes, I will try. You must give me time, please. I can give you better than that. Here's a fact. You know Amida Tong, the assassins?
What about them?
Remember the one in Osaka Castle, lady? He went against the Anjin-san, not Torunaga-sama. Lord Kiyama's chief steward gave 2,000 koku for that attempt.
Kiyama? But why?
He's Christian, eh? The Anjin-san was the enemy even then, eh? If then, what about now? Now that the Anjin-san samurai and free with his ship.
Another Amida? Here?
Kyoko shrugged.
Who knows? But I wouldn't give an Etta's loincloth for the Anjin-san's life if he's careless outside the castle.
Where is he now?
In his quarters, lady. You're going to visit him soon, eh? Perhaps it would be as well to warn him.
You seem to know everything that's going on, Gyoko-san. I keep my ears open, lady, and my eyes.
Mariko curbed her anxiety over Blackthorn.
Did you tell Torinaga-sama? Oh, yes. I told him that.
The corners of Gyoko's eyes crinkled, and she sipped her sake.
As a matter of fact, I don't think he was surprised. That's interesting, don't you think?
Perhaps you were mistaken.
Perhaps. In Mishima, I heard a rumor that there was a poison plot against Lord Kiyama. Terrible, ne?
What plot?
Gyoko told her the details.
Impossible! One Christian daimyo would never do that to another.
Mariko filled the cups.
May I ask what else was said by you and by him? Part of it, lady, was my plea to get back into his favor and out of that flea sack inn. And to that he agreed. Now we're to have proper quarters within the castle, near the Anjin-san, in one of the guest houses, and I may come and go as I wish. He asked Kiku-san to entertain him tonight, and that's another improvement. Though nothing will get him out of his melancholia. Ne?
Gyoko was watching Mariko speculatively. Mariko kept her face guileless and merely nodded. The other woman sighed and continued,
Yes, he's very sad. Pity. Part of the time was spent on the three secrets. He asked me to repeat what I knew, what I'd told you.
Ah, Mariko thought, as another clue fell neatly into its slot.
Ochiba. So that was Zateki's bait. And Torinaga's also got a cudgel over Omi's head, if needed. And a weapon to use against Onoshi with Harima, or even Kiyama. You smile, lady?
Oh, yes,
Mariko wanted to say, wanting to share her elation with Gyoko.
How valuable your information must have been to our master,
she wanted to tell Gyoko.
How he should reward you. You should be made a daimyo yourself. And how fantastic Torinaga-sama is to have listened, apparently so unconcernedly. How marvelous he is.
But Toda Mariko Nobuntaro only shook her head and said calmly,
I'm sorry your information didn't cheer him up. Nothing, I said, improved his humor, which was dull and defeated. Sad, ne?
Yes, so sorry.
Yes.
Gyoko sniffed.
Another piece of information before I go, to interest you, lady, to cement our friendship. It's very possible the Anjin-san is very fertile.
What?
Kiku-san's with child.
The Anjin-san?
Yes, or Lord Torinaga. Possibly Omi-san. All were within the correct time span. Of course, she took precautions after Omi-san, as usual. But as you know, no method is perfect. Nothing is ever guaranteed. Mistakes happen, eh? She believes she forgot after the Anjin-san, but she's not sure. That was the day the courier arrived at Anjiro, and in the excitement of leaving for Yokose and of Lord Torinaga's buying her contract. It's understandable, eh?
Gyoko lifted her hands, greatly perturbed.
After Lord Torinaga, at my suggestion, she did the reverse. Also, we both lit incense sticks and prayed for a boy.
Mariko studied the pattern on her fan.
Who do you think?
That's the trouble, lady. I don't know. I'd be grateful for your advice.
This beginning must be stopped. Of course. There's no risk to her.
I agree. Unfortunately, Kiku-san does not agree.
What? I'm astonished, Gyoko-san. Of course she must. Or Lord Torinaga must be told. After all, it happened before he...
Perhaps it happened before him, lady.
Lord Torinaga will have to be told. Why is Kiku-san so disobedient and foolish?
Karma, lady. She wants a child.
Whose child?
She won't say. All she said was that any one of the three had advantages.
She'd be wise to let this one go and be sure next time.
I agree. I thought you should know in case. There are many, many days before anything shows or before a miscarriage would be a danger to her. Perhaps she will change her mind. In this, I cannot force her. She's no longer my property, though for the time being, I'm trying to look after her. It would be splendid if the child was Lord Toranaga's. But say it had blue eyes. A last piece of advice, lady. Tell the Anjin-san to trust this Uraga no Tadasuma only so far, and never in Nagasaki, never there. That man's final allegiance will always be to his uncle, Lord Harima.
How do you find out these things, Gyoko-san?
Men need to whisper secrets, lady. That's what makes them different from us. They need to share secrets, but we women only reveal them to gain an advantage. With a little silver and a ready ear, and I have both, it's all so easy. Yes, men need to share secrets. That's why we're superior to them, and they'll always be in our power.
Chapter 51. In the darkness just before dawn, the portcullis of a side gate lifted noiselessly, and 10 men hurried out across the narrow drawbridge of the innermost moat. The iron grill closed after them. At the far side of the bridge, the alert sentries deliberately turned their backs and allowed the men to pass unchallenged. All wore dark kimonos and conical hats and held their swords tightly. Naga, Yabu, Blackthorn, Uraga no Tadasuma, and 6 samurai. Naga led, Yabu beside him, and he took them unerringly through a maze of side turnings, up and down staircases, and along little used passages. Whenever they met patrols or sentries, ever alert, Naga held up a silver cipher, and the party was allowed to pass unhindered and unquestioned. By devious byways, he brought them to the main south gate, which was the sole way across the castle's first great moat. Here, a company of samurai awaited them. Silently, these men surrounded Naga's party, screening them, and they all hurried across the bridge. Still, they were not challenged. They continued on, down the slight rise toward First Bridge, keeping as close as they could to the shadows of the flares that abounded near the castle. Once across First Bridge, they turned south and vanished into the labyrinth of alleys, heading for the sea. Just outside the cordon surrounding the Erasmus Wharf, the accompanying samurai stopped and motioned the 10 forward, then saluted and turned about and melted into the darkness again. Naga led the way through the barriers. They were admitted onto the jetty without comment. There were more flares and guards here than before.
"Everything's ready?"
Yabu asked, taking charge now.
"Yes, sir,"
the senior samurai replied.
"Good. Anjin-san, did you understand?"
"Yes, thank you, Yabu-san."
"Good. You'd better hurry."
Blackthorn saw his own samurai drawn up in a loose square to one side, and he waved Uraga across to them, as had been prearranged. His eyes raced over his ship, checking and rechecking as he hurried aboard and jubilantly stood on his quarterdeck. The sky was still dark, with no sign of dawn yet. All signs indicated a fair day with calm seas. He looked back at the wharf. Yabu and Naga were deep in conversation. Uraga was explaining to his vassals what was going on. Then the barriers were opening again, and Bacchus van Neck and the rest of the crew, all obviously apprehensive, stumbled into the clearing, surrounded by caustic guards. Blackthorn went to the gunwale and called out,
"Hey! Come aboard!"
When his men saw him, they seemed less fearful and began to hurry, but their guards cursed them and they stopped in their tracks.
"Uraga-san," Blackthorn shouted, "tell them to let my men aboard, at once."
Uraga obeyed with alacrity. The samurai listened and bowed toward the ship and released the crew. Vink was first aboard, Bacchus groping his way last. The men were still frightened, but none came up onto the quarterdeck, which was Blackthorn's domain alone.
"Great Jesus, pilot!"
Backus panted, above the hubbub of questions.
What's going on?
What's amiss, pilot?
Bink echoed with the others.
Christ! One moment we was asleep, then all hell broke loose. The door burst open, and the monkeys were marching us here.
Blackthorn held up his hand.
Listen.
When there was silence, he began quietly. We're taking Erasmus to a safe harbour across the...
We're not men enough, pilot, Fink broke in anxiously. We'll never...
Listen, Johan. We're going to be towed. The other ship will be here any moment. Hensel, go forward. You'll swing the lead. Vink, take the helm. Jan Roper and Backus stand by the forewinch. Salomon and Croak aft. Sonk, go below and check our stores. Break out some grog if you can find any. Lay to.
Wait a minute, pilot, Jan Roper said. What's all the hurry? Where are we going and why?
Blackthorn felt a surge of indignation at being questioned, but he reminded himself that they were entitled to know. They were not vassals and not Etta, but his crew, his shipmates, and in some respects, almost partners.
This is the beginning of the storm season. Typhoons, they call them. Great storms. This berth isn't safe. Across the harbour, a few leagues south, is their best and safest anchorage. It's near a village called Yokohama. Erasmus will be safe there, and can ride out any storm. Now lay to!
No one moved.
Van Neck said, Only a few leagues, pilot?
Yes.
What then? And, well, what's the hurry?
Lord Taranaga agreed to let me do it now, Blackthorn answered, telling half the truth.
The sooner the better, I thought. He might change his mind again, eh? At Yokohama.
He looked away as Yabu came stomping aboard with his six guards. The men fled out of his way.
Jesus! Vink choked out. It's him! It's the bastard who gave Petershone his!
Yabu came up near to the quarterdeck, smiling broadly, oblivious of the terror that infected the crew as they recognized him. He pointed out to sea.
Anjin-san, look! There! Everything's perfect, ne?
A galley like some monstrous sea caterpillar was sweeping silently toward them from the western darkness.
Good, Yabu-sama. You won't stand here?
Later, Anjin-san.
Yabu walked off to the head of the gangway. Blackthorn turned back to his men.
Lay forward, on the double, and watch your tongues. Speak only gutter Dutch. There's one aboard who understands Portuguese. I'll talk to you when we're underway. Move!
The men scattered, glad to get away from Yabu's presence. Uraga and 20 of Blackthorn's samurai loped aboard. The others were forming up on the jetty to board the galley. Uraga said,
These, your personal guards, if it pleases you, senor.
My name's Anjin-san, not senor,
Blackthorn said.
Please excuse me, Anjin-san.
Uraga began to come up the steps.
Stop! Stay below. No one ever comes onto the quarterdeck without my permission. Tell them.
Yes, Anjin-san. Please excuse me.
Blackthorn went to the side to watch the galley docking, just to the west of them.
Hensel, go ashore and watch them take our horses. See they're secured properly. Look lively now.
Then, his ship in control, Blackthorn scrutinized the 20 men.
Why are they all chosen from the bound group, Uraga-san?
They're a clan, Anjin-san. Like brothers, sire. They beg for the honors of defending you.
Anatawa, Anatawa, Anatawa.
Blackthorn pointed out 10 men at random and ordered them ashore, to be replaced from his other vassals, also to be selected by Uraga at random. And he told Uraga to make it clear all his vassals were to be like brothers, or they would commit seppuku now.
Wakarimasu?
Hai, Anjin-san. Gomen nasai.
Soon the bow hawsers were secured aboard the other craft. Blackthorn inspected everything, checked the wind again using all his sea sense, knowing that even within the benign waters of the vast Edo Harbour, their journey could be dangerous if a sudden squall began.
Cast off!
He shouted.
Ima, Captain-san!
The other captain waved and let his galley ease away from the jetty. Naga was aboard the craft, which was packed with samurai and the rest of Blackthorn's vassals. Yabu stood beside Blackthorn on the quarterdeck of Erasmus. She heeled slightly, and a tremor went through her as she was taken by the weight of a current. Blackthorn and all the crew were filled with jubilation, their excitement at being once more at sea, overriding their anxieties. Hinsel was leaning over the side of the tiny roped starboard platform, swinging the lead, calling out the fathoms. The jetty began to fall away.
Ahoy ahead! Yokurise!
Slow down.
Hi, engine-san!
Came the answering shout. Together, the two ships felt their way out into the harbour stream, riding lights at their mastheads.
Good, engine-san, Yabu said. Very good.
Yabu waited until they were all well out to sea, then he took Blackthorn aside.
Engine-san, he said warily, you saved my life yesterday. Understand? Calling off those Ronin. Remember? Yes, only my duty. No, not duty. But Anjiro, you remember that other man, the seaman, remember?
Yes, I remember.
Shigata Ganai, ne? Kama, ne? That was before samurai or Hatamoto.
Yabu's eyes were glittering in the light of the sea lantern, and he touched Blackthorn's sword and spoke softly and clearly.
Before oil seller, ne? As samurai to samurai, ask forget all before. Start new. Tonight. Please? Understand?
Yes, understand.
You need me, Anjin-san. Without me, no barbarian wako. You can't get them alone. Not from Nagasaki. Never. I can get them. Help you get them. Now we fight same side. Toranaga's side. Same side. Without me, no wako, understand?
Blackthorn watched the galley ahead for a moment and checked the deck and his seamen. Then he looked down on Yabu.
Yes, understand. You understand hate? The word hate?
Yes.
Hate comes from fear. I do not fear you. You need not fear me. Never again. I want what you want. Your new ships here. You here. Captain of new ships. I can help you very much. First, the black ship.
Ah, yes, Anjin-san, he said, seeing the joy flood across Blackthorn's face.
I will persuade Lord Toranaga. You know I'm a fighter, ne? I'll lead the charge. I'll take the black ship for you on land. Together, you and I are stronger than one, ne?
Yes. Possible get more men? More than 200 my?
If you need 2,000 men, 5,000. Don't worry. You lead ship. I'll lead the fight. Agree?
Yes. Fair trade. Thank you. I agree.
Good. Very good, Anjin-san,
Yabu said contentedly. He knew this mutual partnership would benefit them both, however much the barbarian hated him. Again, Yuriko's logic had been flawless. Earlier that evening, he had seen Toranaga and asked permission to go at once to Osaka to prepare the way for him.
Please excuse me, but I thought the matter urgent enough. After all, sire,
Yabu had said deferentially, as he and his wife had planned,
you should have someone of rank there to make sure that all your arrangements are perfect. Ishido's a peasant and doesn't understand ceremony, ne? The arrangement must be perfect, or you should not go, ne? It could take weeks, ne?
He had been delighted with the ease with which Toranaga had been persuaded.
Then there's also the barbarian ship, sire. Better to put it at Yokohama at once, in case of typhoon. I'll supervise that myself, with your permission, before I go. The musket regiment can be its guards. Give them something to do. Then I'll go on directly to Osaka with the galley. By sea it'd be better, and quicker, ne?
Very well, yes. If you think that wise, Yabu-san, do it. But take Naga-san with you. Leave him in charge at Yokohama.
Yes, sire.
Then Yabu had told Toranaga about Tsuku-san's anger. How, if Lord Toranaga wanted the Anjin-san to live long enough to obtain men at Nagasaki, in case Toranaga wanted the ship to put to sea, then perhaps this should be done at once, without hesitation.
The priest was very angry. I think angry enough to set his converts against the Anjin-san.
You're sure?
Oh, yes, sire. Perhaps I should put the Anjin-san under my protection for the moment.
Then, as though it were a sudden thought, Yabu added,
The simplest thing would be to take the Anjin-san with me. I can start arrangements at Osaka, continue to Nagasaki, get the new barbarians, then complete the arrangements on my return.
Do whatever you think fit, Toranaga had said. I'll leave it to you to decide, my friend.
What does it matter, ne? What does anything matter?
Yabu was happy that at long last he could act. Only Naga's presence had not been planned, but that did not matter, and truly it would be wise to have him at Yokohama. Yabu was watching the Anjin-san, the tall, arrogant stance, feet slightly apart, swaying so easily with the pitch and toss of the waves, seemingly part of the ship, so huge and strong and different.
So different from when ashore.
Consciously, Yabu began to take up a similar stance, aping him carefully.
I want more than the Kanto, Yuriko-san,
he had whispered to his wife just before he had left their house.
Just one more thing. I want command of the sea. I want to be Lord High Admiral. We'll put the whole revenue of the Kanto behind Omi's plan to escort the barbarian to his home, to buy more ships and bring them back again. Omi will go with him, eh?
Yes, she had said, as happily. We can trust him.
The wharf at Edo was deserted now. The last of the samurai guards were disappearing into the byways, heading back toward the castle. Father Alvito came out of the shadows, Brother Michael beside him. Alvito looked seaward.
May God curse her and all who sail in her.
Except one, Father. One of our people sails with the ship. And Naga-san. Naga-san sworn to become Christian in the first month of next year.
If there even is a next year for him,
Alvito said, filled with gloom.
I don't know about Naga. Perhaps he means it. Perhaps not. That ship's going to destroy us, and there's nothing we can do.
God will help us.
Yes, but meanwhile, we're soldiers of God, and we have to help him. The Father Visitor must be warned at once, and the Captain General. Have you found a carrier pigeon for Osaka yet?
No, Father, not for any amount of money, nor even one for Nagasaki.
Months ago, Toranaga-sama ordered them all into his keeping.
Alvita's gloom deepened.
There must be someone with one. Pay anything that's necessary. The heretic will wound us terribly, Michael.
Perhaps not, Father.
Why are they moving the ship? Of course, for safety, but more to put it out of our reach. Why has Toranaga given the heretic 200 wako and his bullion back? Of course, to use as a strike force, and the species to buy more pirates, gunners and seamen. Why give Blackthorn freedom? To harry us through the black ship. God help us. Toranaga's forsaken us, too.
We've forsaken him, Father.
There's nothing we can do to help him. We've tried everything with the daimyos. We're helpless.
Perhaps if we prayed harder, perhaps God would show us a way.
I pray and pray, but
Perhaps God has forsaken us, Michael, rightly. Perhaps we're not worthy of his mercy. I know I'm not.
Perhaps the Anjin Sun won't find gunners or seamen. Perhaps he'll never arrive at Nagasaki.
His silver will buy him all the men he needs, even Catholics, even Portuguese. Men foolishly think more about this world than the next. They won't open their eyes. They sell their souls all too easily. Yes. I pray Blackthorn never arrives there, or his emissaries. Don't forget, there's no need at all for him to go there. The men could be bought and brought to him. Come along. Let's go home now.
Dispiritedly, Alvito led the way toward the Jesuit mission, which was a mile or so westward, near the docks, behind one of the large warehouses that normally house the season's silks and rice, and form part of the market complex the Jesuits governed on behalf of buyer and seller. They walked a while along the shore, then Alvito stopped and looked seaward again. Dawn was breaking. He could see nothing of the ships.
What chance of our message being delivered?
Yesterday Michael had discovered that one of Blackthorn's new vassals was a Christian. When the news had fared through the underground network of Edo last night that something was going to happen with the Anjin San and his ship, Alvito had hastily scrawled a ciphered message for Delacqua, giving all the latest news, and had begged the man to deliver it secretly if ever he reached Osaka.
The message will arrive, Brother Michael added quietly. Our man knows he sails with the enemy. May God watch him and give him strength, and curse Uraga.
Alvito looked across at the younger man.
Why? Why did he become apostate?
He told you, Father,
Brother Michael said.
He wanted to be a priest, ordained in our society. That wasn't much to ask for a proud servant of God. He was too proud, brother. God, in his wisdom, tempted him and found him wanting. Yes, I pray I am not found wanting when my turn comes.
Alvito wandered past their mission toward the large plot of land that had been set aside by Torunaga for the cathedral that should soon rise from the earth to the glory of God. The Jesuit could already see it in his mind, tall, majestic yet delicate, dominating the city, peerless bells cast in Macau or Goa or even Portugal ringing the changes, the vast bronze doors ever wide to the faithful nobility. He could smell the incense and hear the sound of the Latin chants.
But war will destroy that dream, he told himself. War will come again to plague this land, and it will be as it ever was. Father,
Brother Michael whispered, cautioning him. A woman was ahead of them, looking at the beginning foundations that already were marked out and partially dug. Beside her were two maids. Alvito waited motionlessly, peering in the half-light. The woman was veiled and richly dressed. Then Brother Michael moved slightly. His foot touched a stone and sent it clattering against an iron shovel, unseen in the gloaming. The woman turned, startled. Alvito recognized her.
Mariko-san, it's me, Father Alvito. Father, oh, I was just coming to see you. I'm leaving shortly, but I wanted to talk to you before I left.
Alvito came up to her.
I'm so glad to see you, Mariko-san. Yes, I heard you were leaving. I tried to see you several times, but at the moment, I'm still forbidden the castle.
Wordlessly, Mariko looked back at the beginnings of the cathedral. Alvito glanced at Brother Michael, who was also bewildered that a lady of such importance would be so scantily attended, wandering here so early and unannounced.
You're here just to see me, Mariko-san? Yes, and to see the ship leave. What can I do for you? I wish to be confessed. Then let it be here, he said. Let yours be the first in this place, though the ground is barely hallowed. Please excuse me, but could you say Mass here, Father? There's no church or altar or vestments or the Eucharist. I could do that in our chapel,
if you'll follow... Could we drink cha from an empty cup, Father? Please,
she asked in a tiny voice.
So sorry to ask.